Okay, we've been going through this whole series of the I am statements of God, and we've had quite a preaching team, and people have been doing their bit, and I'm taking the more fringe ones. The last one I had was the yoke, where Jesus states, "I am gentle and humble of heart." So today's one's probably even more fringe because nowhere in the Bible does it say what we're looking at. So is that all right? Okay. You're a bit worried, eh? It'll be all right. I am hospitable. I want to look today at the hospitality of God. So it's in there. It's just not stated by Jesus saying, I am hospitable. But it's all through from the beginning to the end, this hospitality of God. And I thought a good place to start would be for in your groups to answer this. How would you describe the hospitality of God? So you can talk about it. While you're talking about it, send someone over to the table over here. There's paper and pen, because I'm going to actually get each group to write something soon. So while you're talking about this, get someone to go and get paper and pen. How would you describe the hospitality of God? Go. Discussion time. Okay, any group wants to talk about the hospitality of God, what you think it is? Nobody? Okay, unconditional love. Is that wrap everything up? Room for everyone. So it's talking about the spaciousness of God's heart towards people. Do you like that?
Yeah.
John?
We have something similar to that. Welcoming and unconditional acceptance.
Okay, welcoming and unconditional acceptance. Which is not what I found from this group here when I arrived in the auditorium. Because I asked them whether I could sit with them and they all just turned to me and said, no. So I had to sit on this table all by myself. Okay, this is more important. You ready? You got pen and paper. You're working as a group. Now I want you to answer this. What is hospitality? What's your group definition? So we're heading a little bit away from God. He is the supreme who is hospitable. Down to what's hospitality for us? What does it look like? And come up with a one-sentence description definition of what hospitality is. Go. That should be long enough, especially for the younger generation like Lynn, who Googled it. A definition of hospitality. Where are we going to start?
We got giving, expecting nothing in return.
Okay, giving, expecting nothing in return. Sound good? Hands up, who agrees? Who disagrees? Oh, these two disagree. Sorry. Here we go.
I don't know. To me, that sounds like generosity more than hospitality. We've got a place to stay where you're welcome and accepted. As long as you want.
As long as you want. Okay, so this group says a place to stay where you know you are welcome and accepted. Agree? Few hands. Right, who else is going to have a crack? This hospitable group here. Through provision of
people's needs.
Who likes that? We'll do it again, eh? We'll say it again. Nice and loud, clear.
Hospitality is the nature of showing unconditional love through provision for people's needs.
Like? Who likes that one? Who thinks it's a bit... You kicked me out of your group. Who says I got the right answer anyway? John probably has.
Okay, in our group, we've come up with some key words to include. And we say hospitality would be opening up to people and offering acceptance, love, and even provisions, providing their needs, material goods.
It's very, very close. Have you guys been listening? It's an interesting exercise to try and actually put a definition to it. I did Google it. Lynn and I, great minds think alike. What can I say? So hospitality, as per the dictionary, is this: the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. Do you like it? Yes? No? I want you to think. The Urban Dictionary, which can be a bit... treating guests or strangers in a friendly, generous way. And then there's all these funny things with hashtags at the bottom. But here's the big question. Is hospitality something we do? Or is it more completely described as as actions coming from an attitude of the heart? Is food always a part of it?
Yes.
Who said that? Joel? Mark? Okay, those are your questions. And back into your group. Okay. Does anybody want to share what you've been talking about as a group? Like a consensus coming from your group? Don. I will find a way to get to you. Ah, look out, he's quoting from the Bible. Okay. Pinch my Bible verse. Anybody else? Who's recently gone through university and had to do an assignment as a group? And who's enjoyed it? Only you, Manoush, you can have a chocolate. I think it's... Anyway, Mike. Okay? Anything else?
It's a gift.
It's a gift. Hospitality is a gift. So is it given to all? Okay. Murray's saying that hospitality is a gift. What if I don't get that gift? What's required of me? Now, I got a confession to make. I was going to do something this morning without my wife's permission. I was going to go down and buy a heap of pizzas and bring them in and put a pizza on every table, which means I would have had one all for myself. Because there's this correlation in our minds that hospitality is always around food, always around meal. We've got a coffee culture. So the culture that we live within now is we'll go and meet over coffee rather than just sit in an office to talk. And so this hospitality thing has got a mind of its own, and it's morphing into something that it never used to be. You know, I spent, don't know whether this is being recorded, I hope they don't listen. My mum and dad came over on Friday morning to see me and stayed longer than normal, which is all right. And I offer them hospitality. It's one coffee each, because that's all they want. They don't want anything more. And I grew up in a home which was hospitable. Incredibly hospitable. We'd come home from primary school and find that there were three beds shoved into one room and us kids had to share because Dad had managed to find some waif or stray and bring them home and pop them in one of our bedrooms. And there were always people around our table. And I was like, man, Dad, don't waste all our food on these people. Anyway, I was going to bring you pizza, but the pizza places don't open till 11 o'clock, so you missed out. But it is the thought that counts, all right? Which sort of leads to my next question, and that is, who are the recipients of hospitality? Now, I want you to think about you and how you are hospitable. Who are you hospitable to? Who are the recipients of your hospitality? See, if we take Don's verse seriously, even though there is a gift of hospitality, and there are certain people in this church that I see that gift manifest through the way they run their families and all the rest of it. But that verse actually says that we should all be engaged in it. So who do we engage with our hospitality? Go. Hey, who are we hospitable to? Are we? No, it's not. The question wasn't who should we, it's who are we hospitable to? Okay, friends. Friends, we find it easy to be hospitable to our friends, mostly. Do we? Family. How many have had in the last month a family huli where the family have got together? Yep, look at it. How many of you have had friends over for a meal or something? Yep. How many of you have gone out for coffee with someone for a yak? And this is generally what we think of as being hospitable to each other. And it is. But who finds that the Bible sometimes throws something to us that is annoying? I do. Because I knew where this, if this is a message or a sermon, I knew where I wanted it to go. And the more I got stuck into my Bible, the more God was saying, actually, you've got it wrong. And it annoyed me. And this is why. The word for hospitality in the Greek is xenos, and it's got nothing to do with your friends or your family or anything like it. It's got to do with the stranger, the alien, the foreigner, the enemy, and the traveller. Someone you do not know. And every verse that says hospitality, even the one Don reads out, it's talking about this group of people. The stranger, the alien, the foreigner, the enemy, and the traveller. And as a subset, it's the poor, the widow, the orphan, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the prisoned, the marginalised, and the lost. And that's why it was annoying, because I actually quite enjoy getting together with the family. I mean, we've just had Joel and Debs' wedding, and there was 100-something people there, and it was a great time. Friends, family, and all the rest of it. Now, I'm not saying that that wasn't hospitality. What I'm saying is that the Bible forces me to look at hospitality in a way that is slightly more uncomfortable. This is the one Don read out. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. But the word hospitality is not offer hospitality to these lovely people here. Would you guys like to come around for lunch today?
Yes.
No, I'm not talking to you lot. I'm talking to this table. You don't want to. They're more difficult. All right, so we can be hospitable with each other. I could say to this table, I know most of you, all of you. Would you like to come for lunch today?
Yeah, sure.
Well, you can't because I'm going out for lunch. Or I could come to this table. Here's some, most of them are friends. One's a work colleague. All right. But that's not biblical hospitality. Biblical hospitality is coming over to this table and chopping all you guys off, because I know you, but these three I haven't met. They're complete strangers. So would you guys like to come for dinner during the week? You don't want to come? Think about it. See me later. Do you see what I mean? It pushes me out of my comfort zone to include people that I normally wouldn't include. That is biblical hospitality. That's what this verse is talking about in 1 Peter. It's saying, when you come together for church, we sit with the people we like. Well, we try to. All right? Or we sit with our family, or we sit with people who are like-minded, but actually even within here, there are some people who aren't strange, they're just strangers. We don't know them. And that is what God pushes us towards if we're going to practice hospitality. Romans. Share with the Lord's people. Yep, that's by inviting people that we know who are in need. But practice hospitality as well. And so it pushes me out of my comfort zone into a zone where I am particularly interested in welcoming the stranger, the traveller, the foreigner. And as I started delving into this, I started to think about what's happened in our nation in the last few weeks in Christchurch and how we shun the Muslim community because they are strangers. This term goes right back to Genesis, right back at the beginning of the Bible. Abraham welcoming the stranger. And in that day and age, you didn't do that because they could be a danger to you, a danger to your wife or your children or your livestock or whatever. You didn't do it. I heard a little bit of history about Mount Maunganui, and the marae was up there, and they welcomed strangers. And in the middle of the night, the strangers got up and slaughtered them all. And so there's this built-in thing. The stranger could be bad news. And Jesus, God, the Bible is addressing this, that we need to be open-hearted towards these people. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Are you three angels? Just checking. You reckon you are? Okay, you can come for tea. Even the law, Leviticus, the foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners once in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And here's the real, real annoying scripture. It was read out to us. Are you ready? Luke 14. This is Jesus. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends. Is that annoying? Is that offensive? Do not bring your friends, nor your brothers or your sisters, or your relatives, or your rich neighbor. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor and the marginalized, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Get it? So when we think hospitality is having a dinner party, yes, but God pushes us. He invites us. He encourages us. He woos us into being even more generous and open by taking in the stranger. And sometimes it's like, you know, Joel will come. Oh, Dad, I picked up this hitchhiker. Oh, he was with the mongrel mob, da la la la. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, son, what are you doing? He's being hospitable. But he's being hospitable, because this is what these verses are actually asking of us. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said, Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God. So within the Jewish nation, there was this concept of when the kingdom of God came, there's going to be a big banquet. And it's picked up in Revelation also at the wedding reception of the bridegroom and the bride. We are the bride, Jesus the bridegroom. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet, invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who he had invited to come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me. And another one said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way. Still another said, I got married. We used to have a song when I was a teenager a couple of years back. And we used to sing it, you know, I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. I have married a cow. I have bought me a wife. Anyway. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, This is the hospitality of God. Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, the marginalized, the poor, the ones we wouldn't normally bring into our home. This is the hospitality of God. God's hospitality pushes way beyond our comfort zone. And he calls us to be participants with that. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. God's hospitality. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. It's an interesting question to think. Is hospitality always around food? And I think this here symbolizes the incredible hospitality of God. Bread and wine. This is about Jesus dying on the cross for us, taking the punishment we deserved. Because God the Father, his heart is so wide towards mankind, so spacious, he says, come and eat. Come and eat the bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the vine. And this here symbolizes to me the hospitality of God, that we are all welcome. Another confronting scripture is when Jesus said, hey, the robbers and the prostitutes are coming into the kingdom. He didn't say the reformed robber. He didn't say the ex-prostitute. He said they were still involved in it, but they're coming into the kingdom, where they will be restored and renewed and start a journey. The ultimate hospitality that God offers us is around food, bread and wine. What I want you to do in your groups, now that you know what God's hospitality is about. He welcomes his arms to anybody who will come. And in a way, in that story in Luke, we are the servant. We are the ones that he is saying to us, hey, there's still room. Go out and find the ones and invite them into my hospitality. So what I want you to do is to rewrite your definition of hospitality that you start with in your groups. And then I want you to go, after you've finished rewriting your definition of hospitality, I want you to do this. How can you fulfill or act on your definition of hospitality? I want some specific things. What can you guys do? Now, I know you're sitting in groups and you might not normally mix with those people. But use it as an exercise to start stretching our minds as to who do we have in our homes? Who do we invite to our banquets or our barbecues? Do we invite the people who already invited us? Or do we push to the people that we do not know? The stranger, the foreigner. Maybe they don't look like us. Maybe they don't speak our language. Maybe they don't have the same God as us. All right? Go. Okay, folks, I want you to keep discussing, but you can also sneak out and get a a sausage if you want, or another cuppa or something. I feel a little convicted, and I have checked with my darling wife, and we're inviting three people for dinner if they can come on Thursday. But keep discussing, because this is, we need to be serious about this as a church. This is my card. Ooh.